He did. He blessed me with another day. He blessed you with another day. Amen.
Amen.
And here we are at the last day of 2017. And as we were singing earlier, amen, we have the victory. Amen. The mere, you know, because the enemy is trying to take us out.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to destroy marriages, trying to take us out of our right mind, trying to put sickness and disease on our bodies, trying to discourage us, trying to mess us up.
Yes.
Amen. And yeah, we battled. And if you're in the battle, you're going to take some hits. But we're here. Amen.
Amen.
Still standing. And we praise Amen. God for that. Amen. Praise God. December 31st, 2017. It's just about 12 noon. And we're going to move right away. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to two places in Proverbs. The first place we're going is Proverbs 26. And then the second place that we're going to go is nearby in Proverbs 22. But let's go to Proverbs 26 first. Amen. As we set ourselves to hear from God on this, the last day of 2017. So let's turn to Proverbs 26. And then after that, we'll go to Proverbs 22. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 26. And we're going to look at one verse there. We're going to look at one verse in Proverbs 22. And both the verses in both chapters are verse 13. So Proverbs 26 and 13. And then we're going to go to Proverbs 22 and 13. Let's look at 26 first. The slothful man says, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Amen. Proverbs 22 and 13. You just have to turn back a few pages. And Proverbs 22 and 13 says, the slothful man says, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Amen. Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, we bless you and thank you for bringing us to the end of the year and putting us on the threshold of a new one. And as we come, O God, on this day, O God, we incline our ear to your voice, believing that you shall speak down from heaven and bless us here on earth with a word from the Lord. Father, I thank you now for the increase that we all shall experience as a result of receiving fresh revelation from you. And Father, I believe that our lives will never be the same. Father, I ask you now to bless everyone under the sound of my voice.
Yes,
and Father, bless me and use me for your glory, O God. And Father, I just thank you, O God, that as we just incline our ear to your voice, you shall speak unto us. And our lives shall be changed for the better.
Thank you.
We bless you, we praise you, and we thank you now for what you shall do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Proverbs 26 and 13, the slothful man says, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. Proverbs 22 and 13, the slothful man says, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. We picked these two verses because these are some provocative verses, and what they are saying unto us, and what these verses, what God is saying through these verses, he's demonstrating the extent to which people will go to not do something. In other words, these verses are examples of the slothful man. That's the lazy person. The person who doesn't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. People who don't want to do anything will latch on to any excuse they can find not to do.
Oh, wow.
And in these verses, the slothful man is saying, of course I can't do it because there's a lion in the streets. Mm. And 22 and 13, he says, he doesn't just say the lion is in the street. And he says, I shall be slain in the street. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the natural conclusion is, then don't go out there.
Mm-hmm.
this is the example that God has in the scripture here in these two verses of people who don't want to do something and will reach for any excuse, even the most outlandish one. There's a lion in the streets.
Amen.
And these two verses form the backdrop of what God has placed in my spirit over these past few weeks for this, for the word that's propelling us into 2018. And this is the word, this is the title of our message and the foundation for what we're going to stand on this year, and that is this: the year of no excuse. Amen. That's what 2018 is. 2018 is the year of no excuse.
Wow.
And if we were to boil it down in all of its simplicity, it's this: 2018 is the year of great achievement through the grace and mercy of God for those who refuse to make excuses. I'm going to say that again. 2018, not will be, understand what God is saying, is the year of great achievement through the grace and mercy of God for those who refuse to make excuses. The year of no excuse, amen. There's an urgency in the atmosphere that there's an urgency. God is looking to do things. I'm telling you right now, excuse makers are not going to be a part of what's going
on.
Amen. This is the year of no excuse. Mm-hmm. And you know, that is so important for us to embrace this thing, that the year of no excuse. You know why? Because excuses are always available. You can look around, there are excuses everywhere as to why we can't do something, why we didn't do something, or why we won't do something. There are excuses everywhere. Some of the biggest excuses that we've all used from time to time, one of them is, it's not the right time. You ever use that excuse? It's not the right time. It's not the right time of the year. You know, I got kids. You know, not right now. You know, maybe after my kids leave the house. It's not the right time. Right? You know, this is not the time for me to take on that new job. It's not the right time. This is not the time for me to go back to school. It's not the right time. You ever wait for the right time? And I understand there's timing in God. There's timing in God. But let God tell you when the time is. But too many times we tell ourselves what the right time is.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at it with logic and with reason. And praise be unto God that God gives us the ability to reason and to think logically. But again, there are so many things in God that logically don't make sense.
Yes.
And there are times when God will want you to do something at a period in your life where it seems it's the most inconvenient time
yes.
of all. But you have to understand that we can't always look for the convenient. See, if things always have to be in perfect position, then there are going to be so many times that you won't do something that God wants you to do now because you'll conclude it's not the right time. Things can't always be perfect. I'm going through this right now. You know, this is the busiest time of my year. Those of you who've been around me, you know, this time of the year, rather busy.
Yeah.
Then we had holidays, and I've been traveling. Over these past, the past few weeks since Thanksgiving, 4 days in Dallas, 4 days in D.C., 6 days in Chicago, getting ready this week to go out to San Diego. Amen. Then Christmas is in there, and I'm busy, and God opened up the door for me to get a new office, and I had to pack up my office. And now, if I'm looking at it, it's not the right time to be trying to move.
Yeah.
It's not the right time. It's not the right time. Right? It may not be convenient, amen. There are some things that God's going to speak to your life that the timing doesn't, but don't latch on to that excuse.
Amen.
If God is moving you forward right now, God always knows what time it is, amen. And so if he's moving you forward right now, don't fall back and say it's not the right time. That's just an excuse, amen. That's just an excuse. Here's another excuse we use a lot. Not enough time. I don't have enough time in the day. Let's just put that one to bed right now. God did not shortchange mankind when it comes to time.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You don't need 25, 26, 27 and a half hours. You don't need 30. You don't need 8 days in a week. You don't need 35 days in a month. You don't. God did not shortchange man when it comes to time. You and I have just the right amount of time to do the things that God wants us to do.
Amen.
And if you can't do it, and if I can't do it, we have to understand something. We are not utilizing our time in the most efficient way possible. Mm-hmm. You don't need more time. You need to reevaluate how you're using the time you have.
Amen.
Some of us sleep too much. You got to get up early. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Some of us be on the internet too much. You got to get up. You got to shut the computer down. Some of us do too much posting on social media. You got to stop trying to be a social media star. You got to get off of that, amen? Some of us spend too much time watching television. You got to turn the thing off. Some of us spend too much time working. Why, how about that? You got to say, hey, day's over. I'm going home.
Wow.
We have enough time. We say we don't have enough time. Oh, I don't have enough time to do it. The devil is a liar. God did not shortchange you on time. He didn't shortchange me on time. That's just an excuse. Amen. I need to take responsibility and say, how am I using the time that I have? Do you know there's some things you can cut out of your life that will free up time for you? Mm-hmm. There's some people you may need to free up, you know what I mean, to cut out of your life. Years ago, Sister Fennell said something to me that I never forgot. And I told her about this a couple of weeks ago. She said something to me about, she called things time wasters. She said, that's just a time waster. I never heard that before, a time waster. But you know, there are things that just waste your time. There are some people who just waste your time. Mm-hmm. We got to get rid of time wasters.
Amen.
The more time wasters we get rid of, the more time we'll have to do the things that God would have us to do.
Amen.
You don't need more time. I don't need more time. That's just an excuse from the pit of hell. Amen. We're not accepting that excuse in 2018. Why? Because it's the year of no excuse. Here's another excuse we often use. Inability. I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't write. I can't sing. I can't teach. I can't. But here's the thing, that we just going to shortchange this one real quick. God's ability is unlimited. Our ability is limited. But when we operate in his unlimited strength and power, it will overcome all our limitations.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the scripture says that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. So our inability doesn't matter. I know I can't do certain things. And you should know that you can't do certain things. But the scripture is true. You and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So don't stop at your inability. Yeah, I can't do a whole lot of things. Right? I can't. But if I have a willingness to allow God to propel me forward anyway, God will find a way to get that thing done.
Amen.
Amen. So it's not about my inability. It's about the supernatural ability of God. Amen.
Amen.
So forget that. Forget that I can't stuff. No, no. You can't, but God can.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You can't. But we serve a God who says, to God, nothing shall be impossible. So I can't, you can't, we can't, but God can. Amen.
Amen.
And so we put aside inability. That's just an excuse.
Wow.
The fourth one I'm going to use, I'm not saying these are only four excuses, but this is just the last one. I'm just trying to give examples. And the fourth excuse we sometimes latch on to is opposition.
Mm-hmm.
People opposing us. Circumstances working against us. It was raining. I couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've never been out in the rain. What are you? What are you, the witch of the west? We throw some water on you, and you're going to go, I'm melting! That's what's going to happen to you?
Amen.
Circumstances work against us. People work against us. You know what I mean? people undermining us. Listen, I know you have some enemies. You have people who don't like you.
Yeah.
You have people who don't know you and still don't like you.
Amen.
You have people who are trying they're praying against you. Mm-hmm. They're hoping things don't work for you. They're hoping that you fail. Yeah. I know that. I got those kind of people in my life. I know that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop me from it. Why? Because if God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
Amen. There's no one who can stand in my way as long as God stands with me.
Amen.
I know people don't like me. But I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please my God. And if living that kind of life doesn't lead to people being pleased with me, they just going to have to get over it. Because I'm not stopping.
That's right.
You can work against me. You can try to trip me up. You can try to mess me up. But if God be for me,
amen,
there's no one who can be against me.
Amen.
The psalmist said in Psalm 41 and 11, he said, by this I know that God favors me, or God is well pleased with me, because my enemies do not triumph over me.
Mm-hmm.
See, God is pleased with me. Why? How do you say that? Because, listen, do you remember when Jesus was in the water? He came out of the water after John the Baptist baptized him?
Mm-hmm.
God spoke from heaven and said, what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's what he said.
And Paul tells the church that we are accepted in the beloved.
Mm-hmm.
So we're accepted in the beloved in whom God is well pleased.
Yes.
So guess what? If God is well pleased with Jesus, and you and I are in Christ Jesus, then he's well pleased with us.
Yes. Amen.
And that's why my enemies don't triumph over me. So you can come against me all you want, because God is well pleased with me. Through Christ Jesus, my enemies don't triumph over me. Your enemies don't triumph over me. So guess what? You can come against me all you want. You won't triumph over me.
Amen. That's right.
And see, somebody said, oh, you're just being, you know, conceited and arrogant. No, I'm just speaking out of the Word of God. And I believe this Word of God. Oh, I'm going to try. Oh, I'm coming after you. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to pray for you, because, see, you about to get hurt because you're trying to come against me, and God's not going to stand by and let you do that.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm praying that you repent. I'm not praying, oh, God, protect me. No, that's already a settled issue. Why? Because God is for me. He's not going to let my enemies triumph over me. So our position shouldn't matter to us. Amen. And remember this, Jesus said, he said, I told you certain things that in me you will have peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he said, but in this world you shall have tribulation.
Amen.
But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Let me ask you a question. If you have some enemies, where do they live?
In the world.
They live in the world. So if Jesus has overcome the world, guess who he's overcome? All your enemies who are in the world.
Amen.
So as long as I stay in him, I'll have peace. And because why? You're my enemy. You live in this world. And Jesus already overcome you.
Yes.
So why am I sweating you?
Yes. Amen.
It's an excuse. It don't matter if people come against you. It's an excuse. Doesn't matter if you don't have the ability. God has the ability. It's an excuse. You have enough time, and you can't wait for things to be neatly in place all the time. Amen. If God tells you to move now, you need to move now, even if everything in your life is not neatly in order.
Amen.
There was a time in my life where I thought there was such a day that was called when I have nothing to do. You know what I mean? I thought there would be a day, there'd be a time where, okay, everything's done, I don't have anything to do. You've been waiting for those days?
Mm-hmm.
They're never coming.
Amen. They're never coming.
That day is never coming. You're always going to have something to do.
Yep.
Something
yep.
always is going to need to be done. There's always going to be something that is hanging, a thread that is hanging that needs to be tied up. There's always going to be some loose string. There's always going to be some things out of place. There's always going to be... So guess what? You and I have to learn how to enjoy and thrive in life, even though everything is not in order. Amen. So we're not going to be holding on to excuses. Now, here is the biggest problem, though. I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 3 with me as we talk about this one. Here's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that excuse making is in our nature.
Yep.
When I say in our nature, I don't mean our renewed nature. Excuse making is in our fallen nature. We're looking at Genesis chapter 3, and we know that God told Adam, you can eat freely from every tree in the garden, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the serpent came into the garden, deceived Eve, gave her of the fruit, she ate, and then she gave to her husband, who was just standing right there with her, and he ate too.
Mm-hmm.
And then God came looking for the both of them. And let's look at verse number 11. The tail end of verse number 11, God says, have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that you shouldn't eat of? And the man said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. This is the first example of finger pointing and blaming other people. Adam ate the fruit, and the first thing he did was point to God and point to his wife.
Yep.
Imagine the boldness Adam had. Well, yeah, God, I did eat the fruit, but it was the woman you gave me. And she gave me of the fruit. So it's not my fault. Because if she didn't give me of the fruit, I wouldn't have ate it. And if you didn't give me her, she wouldn't have gave me the fruit. So. Excuse making.
Amen.
And one of the biggest excuse making things that we do, we point to other people and say it's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's your fault. Look at what he, now God said, okay, I'm doing you, boy. And so now he turns to the woman and he says, what is this that you've done?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said, that serpent beguiled me. So you see that part of fallen nature is to immediately not take responsibility but point fingers at the other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of our fallen nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of our fallen nature. But praise be unto God, when we got saved, God gave us a new nature.
Amen.
But Paul says that flesh and that spirit battles against one another, but God has given us an antidote. He's given us the medicine to counteract the poison. And you know what it is? Paul told the Galatian church in 5 and 16, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We got to do more spirit walking.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we walk in the Spirit, we will not give in to our fallen nature, which is inclined to blame other people.
Mm-hmm.
See, the spirit man that's in us, amen, the spirit man takes responsibility. That's my bad.
Amen.
I shouldn't have done this.
Right.
I shouldn't have spoken to you that way. The fallen nature man said, well, if you didn't talk to me like that, I wouldn't have yelled at you.
Amen.
If you didn't look at me like that, I wouldn't have just, right? We always point. If you didn't, then I wouldn't have. That's an excuse, amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's an excuse. And excuse making is part of our fallen nature. Now, here's the thing that we have to really lay on to this thing of this being a year of no excuse, because God has heard it all before, and he's not having it. Amen. He's heard every excuse that man has made, and he's not having it. Turn to Exodus chapter 4 with me. Exodus chapter 4 is when God is talking to Moses and said, listen, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And we know what Moses said, right? In verse number 10, he says to him, he said, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak, Lord. I'm not eloquent. He said, I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. My tongue is thick. I stutter. I can't even get the words out of my mouth. And God says in verse 11 of chapter 4 of the book of Exodus, who hath made man's mouth? Who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, I will be with your mouth and teach thee what you shall say.
Mm-hmm.
But Moses keeps making excuses. He said, oh Lord, please send somebody else. And look at verse 14. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses.
Wow.
I just want you to get that in your spirit. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses because Moses insisted on making excuses.
Wow.
Please understand this. God hates excuse making among his people. Amen? He hates excuse making among his people. He was angry at Moses continually making excuses. God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, listen, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I ordained thee and sanctified thee a prophet unto the nations. And Jeremiah immediately said, oh, Lord God, I'm too young. I'm just a child. I can't speak. And God said, say not that I'm a child.
Mm-hmm.
And later God told him, don't look at their faces. And he told Jeremiah, he said, if you look at their faces, he said, I'm going to dismay you in front of them. He said, I'm going to make you look bad in front of them. God is not looking to hear all these excuses from us, y'all.
Amen. Amen.
He's not looking to hear it. Them 10 spies came back with that bad report. Do you remember that? They went, they saw the promised land. They came back with that bad report talking about, oh, those people in the land are so tall. They're giants. And we're nothing but grasshoppers in their sight. Right?
Mm-hmm.
God went to Moses and said, how long I got to put up with these people? He said, I will smite them with a plague.
Yes.
And I will disinherit them. And I will raise up another nation for you to lead, Moses, that are greater than these jokers.
Yes, that's what he said.
God, he doesn't want to hear excuses from his people.
Wow.
People talking about, we too small to go into the land. And God said, that land belongs to you. And you're going to make an excuse? God said, I'll tell you what, I'll get rid of you and I'll raise up some other people. Oh, glory to God. Somebody needs to hear that. You want to keep giving God excuses? God said, fine. I destined you to go do that thing. You don't want to do it? Get out the way. I'll get somebody else to go do it.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
God has heard all of the excuses before. He doesn't, and he's not pleased with them. Right? He was mad with Moses. He said he was going to get rid of the people. He's going to disinherit them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Gideon and his excuses? Rise up, mighty man of valor, and go fight the Midianites. He said, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? He said, I'm from the tribe of Manasseh. We're the poorest people in the community. And I'm the least among my people. Excuse making. You know what God said to him? He said, go in this thy strength. I thought that was an interesting thing God said. Go in this thy strength. After Gideon said, I have no strength, I'm weak, I'm this, I'm that. God said, go in your strength.
Wow.
In other words, he's saying, go in the strength that you have. Don't make me any excuses. Just go in the strength that you have. Then he said this, I'll be with you.
Yeah.
So understand, God knows that we can't do certain things. But know what he says? Go in the strength that you have.
Amen.
Go in the strength that you have. But don't sit here making excuses. Go in the strength that you have. And understand, when your strength runs out, my strength will kick in. God's not listening. He's not looking to hear of our excuses. And here's the thing. For too long, beloved of God, we have made excuses for not doing things. All you got to do is think on 2017 and some of the things that you haven't done. And chances are you have an excuse. Oh, you may call it a reason. You may call it a reason. But if God told you to do it, he told me to do it, and I found something that excused me from doing it, it's an excuse.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Mm-hmm. God doesn't like excuses. I want us to look at something, though. Two verses, two passages in 1 Samuel. The first one's in 1 Samuel 13. Because one of the biggest excuse makers we see in the Bible was the first king of Israel, King Saul. And what we have here in 1 Samuel 13, I'm going to look at 1 Samuel 13 first, is Samuel, who was the prophet and priest of the nation, he told Saul to go to Gilgal. And he told Saul, he said, wait there for me 7 days, and I'll come there in 7 days and offer the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Right? And in 1 Samuel 13, and he said that in 1 Samuel 10, verse 8. And in 1 Samuel 13, verse 7, it says, some of the Hebrews went up to Jordan, to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, and they were trembling. And it says he waited 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel didn't come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And so what happened is that Saul then did the offering himself. In verse 9, he said, bring me a burnt offering and peace offerings. And Saul, who was the king, and not supposed to be offering, making offerings, that's the priest's job.
Yes.
He made the offering unto the Lord. Look at verse 10. It says, and it came to pass as soon as he had made the end of the offering, Samuel came. Mm-hmm. And Saul went out to him. And Samuel said, what is this that you have done? And Saul said, what? Because I saw the people. So he immediately started blaming.
Yeah.
He immediately started making excuses. Because I saw the people were scattered from me. So that's one finger point.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a second finger point. And that you didn't come when you said you were going to come.
Wow.
That's the second finger point. And the third one is, and the Philistines gathered themselves together against me.
Wow.
Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Now look what he says. And I forced myself. To make the offering. Forget the fact that I'm the king and I know I'm not supposed to make the offering.
Right.
Forget the fact that you told me that you were going to come and make the offering. He's looking at all these excuses. The people scattered. You didn't come, Samuel, when you said you were going to do. And the Philistines are gathered against me. So I had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
I forced myself. You ever try to tell people you had no choice, that you did something but you really didn't want to do it?
Yep. Devil made me do it.
I know I told you I was going to pick you up on Saturday, but I couldn't help it, man, and my boss made me work late, so I just had to say that. But you left out that you just willingly did the overtime.
Yes. Amen.
I forced myself. I didn't really want to do it. Let's see how this goes over. Verse 13, Samuel says to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom forever. But now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you. See, if God tells you and me to do something and we don't keep that word, please understand, God's not looking for excuses from us.
Amen.
He's not looking for us to be blaming other people.
Amen.
Adam and Eve tried that. God wasn't having it then. What makes you think he's going to have it today? Amen.
Amen.
Saul tried that. God wasn't having it.
Amen.
And he said, listen, because you've done this, you're making all these excuses, you still got to face the consequences. Your kingdom is not going to last forever. If you'd have done what the Lord wanted you to do, you could have had a kingdom that lasts forever.
Wow.
But now that you didn't, don't give me this, I forced myself, the people, and blaming Samuel and everybody else. No excuses.
Wow.
Now watch this. Saul does not learn his lesson. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 15, he's still king. But God gave him a command. He said, go and wipe out the Amalekites. Kill everyone. Don't allow anything. In fact, let's see it together. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter. Did I say 15?
Yes.
Yeah, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. He says, Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek, those of the Amalekites, did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way. Now go, verse 3, and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that plain?
Yeah.
Let's look at verse 8. And verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites, verse 8, and he took Agag the king. Wait a minute. Supposed to kill everybody. But he took the king.
Yep.
That's not even it. And then it says, and he took what? The best of the sheep.
Wow.
And of the oxen. And of the fatlings. And of the lambs. And all that was good. And would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Hold on a minute. So God said, destroy everything in the land of the Amalekites. Destroy everything. And they went there and they saved the king. And then they start look. Oh, wait a minute! This sheep look good.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute! This donkey look good. These oxen. Oh, they're strong. They kept those, but the ones that were weak and sickly, man, let's destroy those. I told this to Sister Fernanda yesterday. As I was reading this, God spoke to my spirit. He said, He reminded me of the time that I did similar things, and maybe you've done similar things too. God sometimes has told me to clean out my closet because I got to give away things. Mm-hmm. Give away clothes. You don't wear that anymore. Or clean out your garage. It's kind of junky. Get rid of stuff. Clean out that junk drawer in the kitchen because everybody got a junk drawer in the kitchen. Don't mm-hmm. And I'm cleaning out my closet, cleaning out things, and I come across stuff haven't worn it in months. Haven't worn it sometimes in years. And I go, ooh, this thing's too good to give away. I could still use this. You ever done that?
Yeah.
Stuff you haven't seen in months, in years. God told you to clean out your closet, clean out your garage, and you come across it and you go, oh, this is too good to throw away. This is too good to give away. But God told you to give it away. That's just like what happened here. See, God said destroy everything, but they got to go, oh, these sheep look too good.
Wow.
I'm not giving this away.
Wow.
And God said something to me. He said, listen, do you know, in Leviticus 26 and 10, God says, you will still be eating the harvest from last year, and you will have to move it out to make way for the new.
Jesus.
And God said to me, sometimes we have to create emptiness to experience fullness. And so when God is telling you to clean out your closet and clean out your garage and you come across something that, oh, this is too good to throw away. Listen, that's just the devil trying to mess with you. You need to not make an excuse. Get rid of it.
Wow.
Because how many of you know that God needs the empty space so he can fill it up with some new stuff? Oh, but you rather hold on to that dress that you know you can't fit. You know you ain't going to be wearing it anytime soon, but you're going to hold on to it because I'm going to fit it one day. And God is saying to you, get rid of it because I got some new stuff for you.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Even if you can fit it, just like God said in Leviticus 26 and 10, you will be still eating last year's blessing. Sometimes that thing is still good. But it's last year's blessing. God said you will still be eating last year's harvest when you're going to have to get rid of the old and make way for the new. You're going to have to move that. Not more than move, but I got something better for you.
Wow.
That's just an aside. That's not about the year of excuse, but it just shows that sometimes this is what we do. And that is what Solomon did here. Oh, this is too good to throw away. So they didn't destroy everything. They didn't destroy everything. And so, Samuel comes once again. Let's go to verse 20. But Samuel asked him, he said, why didn't you obey the voice of the Lord and destroy everything? And Saul said, he had the nerve to say, I obeyed the Lord, verse 20. And I have gone the way in which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Here comes the excuse, though. Verse 21, what it says? But the people. immediately pointing fingers, right? But the people took the spoil. They took the sheep, they took the oxen, they took the chief thing, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams.
Wow.
So you see what happened here, right? Saul doesn't listen about the time where, hey, just wait for me to come. Just wait for me to come. Wait for me to come. And know what he was saying? It's taking too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking too long. You ever been in a situation where you say God's taking too long?
Yeah.
That's just an excuse for you not to wait. The writer of Hebrews says in 6 and 12 that we inherit the promises through faith and patience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's taking too long. Abraham and Sarah said it was taking too long for them to have a kid. And they went ahead and did stuff on their own.
Yep.
Right? And instead of getting Isaac at first, they got Ishmael. And to this day, the descendants of Ishmael are the enemies of the Hebrew people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't wait. Couldn't wait. I've been there. I know you've been there. Times when you couldn't wait for God, you went ahead, right? Because you just got tired of waiting. Amen.
Yeah.
But remember, amen, saying that it's taking too long and then moving ahead is nothing but an excuse if God told you to wait.
Yeah.
I'll share something else with you. In 2005, God told me that I was going to start my own business. In 2005, I worked for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But God didn't release me until 2010.
Yes.
2006, I wanted to leave. 2007, 2008, 2009. 2010. God didn't release me until late summer of 2010.
Yeah.
That's when I told my employer, I'm leaving. I knew since 2005.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
Everything God tells you is not for you to do now. We were talking about God does have timing. And if you think it's taking too long, you can't use taking too long as an excuse. Saul tried that. Doesn't work.
Amen. True.
Doesn't work. Amen? And when you get to chapter 15, Saul tried the it's not my fault excuse. You ever try that one? It's not my fault.
Yeah.
They did it. That doesn't work
either.
Because in verse 23, Samuel ended by saying, Saul, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, God said, I ain't having that excuse. Amen. I told you, you're in control. You're in control here. Amen. You can't blame subservience when you're the one in authority. I'm not having it. Don't tell me it's not my fault. Amen. It's not my fault. God's not hearing that. Amen. God's not interested in fault. He's interested in responsibility and accountability. Amen. We speak in terms of fault. God doesn't speak the language of fault. He says who is responsible and who is accountable. Praise God. The last one I want to, the last place I want to turn with you about excuses, because God heard it all. We have to see this one, because this one is funny. And we've got to spend a few minutes that we're going to go. Turn with me to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. We're almost done. This is the year of no excuse. But we have to see this one, because this one, you talk about the lion being in the street being an excuse, you're going to love this one. Because Moses is called up to the mountaintop and he spends 40 days and 40 nights with God. And Moses, as he's up on the mountaintop, amen, he gets the Ten Commandments from God.
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter 32, verse 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down, because he's up there 40 days and 40 nights, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. And Aaron said, break off the golden earrings that are in your ears and bring them to me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, and they brought them to Aaron. In verse 4, he received them at their hand, and it says, he fashioned it with a tool and made it into a molten calf. So he made a golden calf out of their earrings. He put their earrings in the fire, melted down the gold, and he made a calf with a tool that he had in his hand. And the people started worshiping the calf. So Moses comes down the mountain. Let's go to verse 21. And he sees what's going on, and he says to Aaron, "What did you do here?" In verse 22, Aaron says, "Don't be angry. You know these people." Uh-oh, here come the excuses. "They are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods." That's true. They did say that. "As for this Moses, we don't know what happened to him." That's true. They said that. "And I said to them, if you have any gold, break it off. So they gave it to me." That's true. "And then I cast it into the fire." That part is true. But here comes the excuse. "And there came out this calf."
Right.
I call that the out popped the calf excuse. He said, "I took the earrings, I threw them into the fire, and out popped the calf." The scripture clearly tells us that he took a tool and he made the calf.
Right.
But he makes an excuse. "I don't even know what happened. I just took the earrings, I threw them in the fire, and out popped the calf."
Oh, Lord.
See, God has heard it all. This is a doozy, isn't it? This is the out popped the calf excuse. This is the, "I don't know how it happened. It just happened." You say, "Oh, I never make excuses like that." Oh, yes, you do. You ever said to someone, "I just said it"?
Yep.
Why would you say that? "I don't know, I just said it. I didn't mean it, I just said it." The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if that came out of your mouth, it was in your heart, and it was in your heart in abundance. In other words, things don't just pop out of your mouth any more than calves just pop out of fires. The out pop the calf excuse don't work. The "I don't know how it happened, Lord." Excuse. God has heard it all before.
Amen.
God has heard it all before. Amen. He's heard the inability excuse of Moses, and he was angry with Moses. He heard Jeremiah saying, "I'm too young." He said, "I don't want to hear that." He heard the spies saying, "We're grasshoppers," talking words of fear. And God said, "I'll disinherit you, and I'll bring on some other people up in here." He heard Gideon talking about his bad circumstances coming from the wrong family and from the wrong side of the street. And he just said, "Listen, I want to hear that. Go in your strength. I'll take care of the rest." He heard Saul talking about, "It took too long for Samuel to get there. And I don't want to hear it. I'm taking the kingdom from you." He heard Saul say, "But the people did it. It's not my fault." He said, "I put you in control and in charge. I ain't hearing your excuses. You rejected me, I rejected you." And then he heard the greatest excuse of all. Out popped the calf. And God said, "I ain't hearing that either. Aaron, you ain't going into the promised land." Now, someone will say, this is all Old Testament. And so God, that's the God of Old Testament. He was a severe God. But see, we serve a gentle God. We serve the Prince of Peace now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus understands that he can, he's not a God who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So, you know, when I make excuses, that's just part of my infirmities. That's just part of my weaknesses. And Jesus is touched by them. You can say that if you want. But Jesus said this. He said, "I and my Father are one."
Amen.
He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Mm-hmm. So guess what? If you've seen the Father in the Old Testament saying, "I ain't listening to these excuses," and Jesus said, "I and the Father are one, and if you've seen me, I've seen the Father," let me let you know something right now. Jesus don't want to hear your excuses either.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at one passage of Scripture, and then we're done. Because we're going to go to the New Testament so that we understand. This is not just some Old Testament stuff of God not wanting to hear excuses. Jesus doesn't want to hear excuses either.
Amen.
Let's look at Luke chapter 14. Jesus tells a parable of the great supper. In verse number 15 of Luke 14. It says, "A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent his servant," verse 17, at supper time to say to them that were bid, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse.
Lord Jesus.
The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. In other words, I got some business to take care of. Mm-hmm. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. In other words, I got some things to take care of at the house. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. In other words, I have some family obligations. I got some business to take care of. I got some things to do around the house. I got some family obligations. I can't come. So that servant came and told his lord all these things, and the master of the house, being
angry.
God don't like excuses, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets in the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that in my house, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, watch this, that none of those men which were bidden and made excuse shall what? Taste of my supper. Jesus is giving us as a parable and saying, listen, if you don't want to come when the Lord says come, when you don't want to do what the Lord is saying to do, and you want to offer up some excuses, I got business, I got things to do at the house, I got family obligations. He said, you won't taste of my supper. In other words, you can't come to the table.
Wow.
Come on, somebody. Oh, you may get some crumbs that fall from the table. And that may sustain you for a while. You get a little bit of the blessing. But I tell you this, I'm tired of crumbs. I want to be sitting at the table creating the crumbs. Amen. I'd rather be eating and some crumbs are falling down because they're coming out of my mouth.
Amen.
I want to be underneath the table just catching some crumbs. I want to be creating some crumbs.
Amen.
Because I'm eating the whole meal. Amen. I want to sit at the master's table. Amen. I want to sit at the table, but see, I got to stop making excuses, because excuses will get you removed from the table.
Wow.
We read it today in our confession for the year, right? You see what Jesus said? This one wasn't a parable. This is Jesus when he said, hey, come follow me. And the one said, hey, I got to go bury my father. What did he say? Let the dead bury the dead. Remember we read that this morning?
Yeah.
Let the dead bury the dead. Another one said, oh, let me first go say goodbye to people that are at my house. He said, listen, no one having his hands in the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus ain't listening to no excuses either. Amen? He's not listening to any excuses either. In Matthew 25, he told the parable of the talents, right? Gave one 5, gave one 2, gave one talent. And then he came back and said, what you got? He said, hey, first one, I made 5 talents more. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, I made 2. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What about you? Well, I know that you're a hard man. You know, you reap where you don't sow. And I was afraid, so I just put my thing in my tent. And I covered it with a napkin, and here's it back. What Jesus said is, you wicked and slothful servant. Sound like he was telling a parable of somebody who was ready to listen to some excuses.
Wow.
He said, you wicked. And then what he said, take from him that one talent that he has and give it to the one who has 10.
Yep.
So that he can have abundance. And that which you thought you have, I'm going to take it from you. What's the point? God doesn't like excuses. And in our fallen nature, we have a penchant of making excuses. Mm-hmm. And what God is saying is this. I'm going to say it again. 2018 is the year of no excuse.
Wow.
And it's the year of great achievement through the grace and mercy of God for those who refuse to make excuses.
Wow.
Praise be unto God. My excuse making, I'm declaring it, my excuse making is over. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm declaring this over you. Your excuse making days are over.
Amen.
Praise be unto God. You will not make any excuse. Amen. It's the year of no excuses. You know what that means? That right now, this year coming up, is the time to achieve it. Whatever the it is. Time to achieve it. No excuse. Time to do it. No excuse. It's time to be it. No excuse. Wow. If it's broken, it's time to fix it. No excuse. If you started it, but it's not finished, it's time to complete it. No excuse. Amen. This is the year of what?
No excuse.
No excuse. Amen. This is the year of no excuse. Somebody hurt you last year? It's time to get over it. No excuse.
Wow.
It's time to move on from it. No excuse. Somebody's getting on your nerves, you know they haven't been good for you for the last couple of years. Time to end it. No excuse.
Amen.
This is the year of no excuse. We have no excuse. Why? Because the grace and mercy of God is with us right now. It's always been with us, but we have excused ourselves from it. But not anymore. Amen. It's now time to walk in it. Amen.
Amen.
This is the year of no excuse. Amen. There's a lion in the street. That's an excuse for you not to get out of it. I remember when I had jobs. I haven't done this in a while, but when I had jobs, I used to practice my cough before I called in. You ever did that?
Yep.
You ever did that? You ever practiced the who is this? Yeah. I practiced.
Yes.
Amen.
And the only reason why we laugh is because we all done it. We were calling in sick, and we practiced our sick voice.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good today. This is the year of no excuse. We're not making any excuses, amen? We're not making any excuses. Lying in the street. Here's the thing, and we're going to end on this. There are always lions in the street.
That's right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The devil walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. There are always lions in the street. There are always reasons for you to stay in the house. There are always reasons for you to stay in the boat. There's always reasons for you to not remove from where you are. There will always be lions in the street. But not one of the lions that are in the street can tangle with the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Which is our God. Amen. It's our Jesus. Amen. Amen. Revelation 5:5 says, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed." Amen. So let there be lions in the street. We have a bigger lion. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going out in the street because the lion that are in the street can't tangle with the lion of the tribe of Judah. And if the lion of the tribe of Judah prevails, then so do we. Amen. So guess what? We can't even use that excuse anymore. Amen.
Amen.
This is the year
of no excuse.
Of no excuse. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You've been meaning to go to bed early, you're going to go to bed early. You've been meaning to get up early, you're going to get up early. You've been meaning to get back in the gym, lose some weight, you're going to get back in the gym, lose some weight. You've been meaning to go back to school, you're going to go back to school. You've been meaning to learn a new skill, so you're going to learn that new skill. Right? Why? No excuse.
Wow.
No excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because this is the year of no excuse. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to achieve this year, y'all. Amen. You're going to achieve, you're going to achieve, amen, you're going to achieve, I'm going to achieve. We are going to achieve this year. How many people are ready for that, amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are going to achieve this year because we are making no excuse. Because God has heard it all before and he don't like it, he don't accept it. And so guess what? We ain't giving it to him, amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is the year of
no excuse.
Amen. Man, we take them excuses out of our vocabulary, man, we're going to be some dangerous people. This world better watch out. Amen? Because we're ready to do it, aren't we? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Good success lies ahead for the people who refuse to make excuses. Let's rest on our feet and let's pray today and seal this with our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're coming out of 2017. We're going into 2018. With no excuses. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we bless you and we thank you. Glory to God. We thank you for the word you've spoken unto us and how you've encouraged us, oh God. And Father, we've heard your voice.
Yes.
Thank God. You've heard all the excuses before. There's a lion in the street. Out popped the calf.
Yes.
Oh God, it's that woman you gave me. All the things pointing blame at other people, Lord. And Father, every time an excuse is made, we see that you are not pleased with excuse making. Father, we ask you right now to forgive us of all the times we have simply made excuses for not doing the things that you have called us to do. We repent of that right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we ask for your forgiveness and we purpose in our heart now to go forward into this new year. And in fact, even starting today, without making excuses. Father, we believe that 2018 is the year of no excuse, and so we offer you none. But Father God, we just simply offer you our heart, and we offer you our obedience,
yes.
We offer you our faith, and we believe that as we do that, dear God, you shall do great and mighty things in us, through us, and for us. And this shall be a year of great achievement through the grace and mercy of God for those who refuse to make excuses. Father, we right now count ourselves in that number.
Yes.
And Father, we look forward to all the things that we shall achieve in the coming year. Father, we seal it right now with our faith. Father God, you said we shall decree the thing and it shall be established. So we decree that we make no excuse. And we believe you shall establish that in our lives. And we shall receive and see in our lives great achievement.
Yes.
In the coming year. For that we bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.